I'm going to say I'm standing before you in the name of Jesus. And I would like to say just a few words concerning my state in life. God does all things well, and I charge him not. You know, we as God's people have expectations, and our expectations are founded on the Word of God. And we have read, excuse me, I've got a little phlegm. We've read of all of the miracles that our God is a miracle-working God. We've trusted in it. And we have based our faith on the miracle works of God. And when I first fell, I know there were many among the saints that had expectations of a miracle, and I did too. And when that didn't happen, it was a test to our faith and to our endurance. But I want to tell you what the Lord has showed me. Just as Jacob wrestled with the angel and came away with a different walk, that he walked that way the rest of his life, I will probably walk this way the rest of mine. And it's the mark of wrestling with the angel of God. I don't know what I would have done without all of the prayers of the saints. I will be eternally grateful, not only for the prayers of God's people, but also for those that took care of me and made it possible for me to trust the Lord. And so I will forever be indebted to the church. We have a little message this afternoon. And you know, I'm not discouraged at all that there's just a few of you here today. It's probably what I prefer. But I was, a couple of weeks ago, I was meditating and thinking on the things of God, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to preach this at the Guthrie meeting. So I am leaning hard on the Lord. This is, I guess, my first time to minister outside of our own little chapel. But I want also to testify that the Lord has done something very special for me in this meeting, to my spirit. And I want to praise him for that. The enemy has ever been around and trying to discourage and give me battles of my mind, but you know, I have been so blessed in the meeting when I could come, and just the singing and even the ministering of the word has just touched something in my heart. And so I give him all of the praise. And I hope that I can not tarry too long. But I feel a great burden for the word of the Lord this afternoon. And The title will be, Ye Are My Witnesses. And when I looked up this word, witnesses, in the Greek, the word witness signifies one that gives testimony to the truth at the expense of his life. And that's the portion of the definition I want to sort of work with this afternoon. And it's the part that the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to talk about the martyrs and what it means to be a modern day martyr. You know, we have martyrs all over the world, in other countries, even at this time. We don't hear about it all the time, but but there are martyrs going on, people that are giving their life for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ, because they will not denounce or recant their faith. They believe that it is true. It is a testimony of what they have in their hearts. So by the help of the Lord, I would like for us to use this as our topic this afternoon, and don't be turned off by the word martyr. I down through my life, I could never read the book of, what is the name of it? The Fox's Book of Martyrs. I couldn't read that. That affected me so badly. But about 3 years ago, the Lord began to open up. I don't want to call it beautiful, but there is something about people who are so convinced that Christ is the, in this day, but down through the ages, that he was the Son of God, and that he gave his life for all of mankind, and to be so convinced that they're willing to lay their life down. And I read those things. This has just been in the last few years, and I've said, oh, can I do that? Would I be able to do that? So I have an admiration for the stories I have read now. And I'm hoping, by the help of the Lord, just to lay a foundation for our ending thoughts. So I'm starting with a scripture in Revelations 1 and 5 through 7. It says, Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, or we could say, who is the faithful martyr, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, behold, he cometh with clouds. And I want to talk about clouds for a little bit. You know, the Lord is coming back someday, and the word of the Lord says that he's coming in clouds. It may say with clouds. But Jesus is the faithful witness. And he was called that because he did bear the record of the truth, and he sealed it with his blood. So he was a martyr to the truth, and he was a faithful witness. And in verse 7 again of that same chapter, behold, he cometh with clouds. So now I want to turn to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1, and it says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's all I'm going to give you of that particular little verse. But this particular verse is talking about the coming of the Lord. And it goes on and it says, "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And it goes on and says, "To be there forever." And so these clouds that are spoken of, him coming with clouds, is made up of all of the witnesses of the earth that are redeemed, that have loved not their lives unto death. So from the resurrection and from the ascension, let me back up to, I'm skipping one little verse along that portion. It says, over in Revelations, it says, "Who are these?" And the answer was, "Thou knowest." And it says, "These are they which came through great tribulations." It went on and said that they have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. So we know who we're talking about. We're talking about a people that are redeemed, that are saved from sin and not saved in their sins, but they are victorious. They have the power to rise above, to go forward, to lay down their life if necessary. So I'm going to back up now and say, from the day of the Pentecost, which we know what that represented, when the Holy Spirit came, and those that were witnesses then received power. Prior to that time, they were, timid, shy, backward, unwilling to bear anything. Peter was very easy for him to deny Christ because he didn't have the power. But once those people received power, it changed their lives. They no longer loved their lives unto death. They had the fire burning in them, and they went forth and they proclaimed the gospel, knowing it was at the price of their lives. And they still did it. So I'm going to insert here, we need the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Without it, we will not be able to stand. We will not be able to be bold, because you know the apostles, as they prayed, they said, "Give us that boldness." You know, we need the boldness of the Spirit and not the boldness of ourselves. So I'm thinking of what the common denominator is of all martyrs. Say, since Christ. I'm sure there were martyrs before Christ, but since Christ, this is the common denominator. They were willing to lay down their life. 10 of the disciples were martyrs. John was the only one that lived to old age. And then Judas took his own life. But the main common denominator is what I've already spoken. They loved not their lives unto death for the sake of the gospel and for the sake of Jesus Christ. John the Baptist was a martyr. Stephen, Paul, they were martyrs, and there were many others. And I'm going to give what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. "For I am now ready to be offered, And the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all that love his appearing. Paul knew he was headed for martyrdom, and he gave his life willingly. So the scriptures, they further describe, you can read them over in Hebrews, and we're going to call them witnesses, but they are martyrs. Many of them were martyrs. They were cruelly mocked, this is from the scripture, scourged, imprisoned, stoned, sawn asunder, and tempted, slain with the sword, destitute, afflicted, tormented. And then it says, of whom the world was not worthy. Those that willingly gave their life, it simply means that the world was not worthy of their presence. They were lights in the world, but darkness covered the eyes of the people. So, history has recorded millions of martyrs that they didn't love their lives unto death. I'm repeating that. I think we need that portion of verse to be solid in our minds and in our hearts. They were not willing to recant nor deny their Lord and Savior. They were burned at the stake. They were cast into the arena. And just but for one word, they could have lived. That's all it would have taken. I give up. And they could have walked away and lived possibly a long life. I remember one story about a young woman. And some of you, she's really a famous as far as the martyrs are concerned. She was young and she had a baby son. And she actually was able to keep her son in prison after she was arrested, she and about five or six others. And you know, she could have escaped the wild beast if she only sacrificed a pinch of salt to the emperor at that time. That's all you say. And even her father tried to persuade her to do it and said, you don't have to mean it. Have we ever heard something like that in relationship to, let's say, the three Hebrew children? Well, you could bow and just not mean it in your heart, but they would not bow. And they went to the fire. Oh, they are some that we like to talk about. They survived. The fourth man in the fire was that one that they said looked like the Son of God. So we have those that would not recant, and yet they survived. So she would not recant, and she went to the arena and gave her life. She was a young woman. So during that period of martyrdom, it became, the martyrs became so effective to other people looking on. It was said that the martyrs' blood became seed. In other words, it produced fruit in those that were looking on. There were those that were affected by the faithfulness and those that would not give up their faith, and they turned to God. And so there were a lot of people that turned to Christ during this period. And I'm going to read one of the stories. This one was called The 39 Soldiers for Christ. Have you remembered, anybody remember that? It was actually 40, but the title was 39. This story took place in modern-day Turkey, where a legion of Roman soldiers were made up of different countrymen. It was during the reign of the emperor Licinius, I can't say it, in 320. There went out a decree for all of the soldiers to make a sacrifice to the emperor. But there were 40 soldiers who went boldly to their commander and said they were Christians. They proclaimed no torments would make them recant. The governor, finding them all resolute, caused them to be tortured with whips. Then, angered by their courage, ordered an extraordinary kind of death that was slow and severe. The governor hoped to shake their resolution. It was in the month of March and toward the end of winter, and all of the lakes are frozen solid. And the death sentence was for the soldiers to be stripped of their clothing and exposed to the extreme cold. At the same time, warm bathhouses were on the shore to tempt them to recant. The martyrs, on hearing their sentence, listen to this, ran joyfully to the place and, without waiting to be stripped, undressed themselves and encouraged each other as they did so. Of the whole number, only one was overcome. A sentinel was warming himself near the bathhouse when the one soldier came running for the relief from the frozen lake. The guard was converted and, throwing off his own clothes, placed himself in his stead amongst the 39 soldiers for Christ. That's the kind of impact those resolutions, we call them resolutions, but they're really convictions. They had deep-seated convictions in serving God, the one true God. That was all they had to do, is to make some kind of a little offering to the emperor and worship him. You don't even have to mean it in your heart. You just do it for an outward show. But they were not willing. Those soldiers were not willing. They boldly said, "We are a Christian." You know, the word Christian is so commonly used today, we don't even think about how that at one time it was the price of a person's life to proclaim to be a Christian. Most of us can go out, and if somebody comes up to us and says, "Are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes." We have no shame. We feel no shame. We feel no intimidation. We don't feel threatened. But there was a time it was different. And what I read that the number of martyrs since Christ, I don't know if this is true or not, 70 million since Christ have been martyred for their faith. How strongly do we feel about our faith in Christ? How strongly do we feel about serving Christ? Did you know we need to? We may not be facing the type of martyrdom they did. Well, I don't see it happening. I said it could be happening in other countries, but we are such a spoiled people. We have been so blessed. Our country has had such freedoms. And oftentimes there in our own services, somebody will say, "We thank the Lord that we are able to worship the Lord freely without fear." So we are blessed. But I'm afraid we're also wimps. And I don't say that to be mean. I think it describes the age that we're living in. And you know, we hear people, ministers, we hear things said, well, we don't know what's in the future. And we don't. But God does. And he may be in a time of preparing his people for something. If for nothing else, he's preparing us for the judgment. He's preparing us for the end of time. Are you working toward the end of time? Do you think every day that this could be the day? Do you think about it? I do. Of course, my age, I would naturally think of the coming of the Lord or me leaving this world. Can I say that I anticipate it? It's not a thing to dread if we're ready. If we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. So I'm going to read Hebrews 11 and 13, and it says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. Do you think that you're going to receive every promise that's in the Word of God? What are some of his promises? Most definitely, don't we rely heavily on the promise of his healing power? We do. We definitely rely on many promises. And yet, God doesn't always answer. And during this past year, I have experienced those places of temptation. When I did not feel the presence of the Lord, when I did not hear his voice, when it was very dark, you will be tried. God has a tested and a tried people. Are you going to maintain your faith whether you feel his presence or not? Are you going to recant? He's not talking to me. I don't hear his voice. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of waiting on the Lord. So when the Spirit of the Lord seems far away, wait. Continue to seek. You young people, you have a life ahead of you. It's not unusual to not feel the presence of the Lord, but you don't change because of it. You don't turn and run. You don't give up. You stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. So this scripture says, these died in the faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them. Are you persuaded of the promises? Whether you get it or not, do you still believe the word of the Lord? Do you still believe that his promise is true? And don't we say, oh, God can still do this and that and name it out and believe it, and maybe we don't see it? There are reasons why God may not work as he did in the past, but that doesn't make him less God. It doesn't take away his power. His power is the same. We stand on that he is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. We stand on that. And he has the same power. And so here I do. I'm fighting a battle, and I'm pressing with everything that I have within me, and I don't feel his presence, and I can't seem to get inspired in his word, and my song seems to be removed. And I've been there this last year. What do you do? You do what the Lord told Moses to say to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And so to all of us, it doesn't matter our age, whether we're young or old, learn to stand still and wait on the salvation of the Lord. But this went ahead, and they were persuaded of those promises, and they embraced them, and they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Did you know that's all we are? We're just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Somebody said in this meeting, they said, my citizenship is in another country. Mine is too. And I anticipate seeing my new country. Verses 39 and 40, the same chapter. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us. God has provided something better than this world. You know, my little great-grandsons were trying to instill in them what heaven may be like. And they may ask us, you know, well, what is it like? Well, we don't know, but the Bible says, and we begin to open up things from the Word of the Lord for children. We need to teach our children there's a better place. And we try to say, eye hath not seen nor ear heard what the Lord hath prepared for them that love him. And they're a little young to receive that, but we try to say this, it's a whole lot better than it is here. Heaven will be worth it all. It'll be worth everything that you and I go through here. Everything. Revelation 6 and 9 through 10. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they had. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And here's the answer I want us to pay attention to. And white robes were given every one of them. And then it was said to them that they should rest for a little season until their fellow servants and brethren should be killed as they were. Well, you might say, I don't see that happening in this age. I don't either. Not in this country so much. But do you know that we're going to have to die every day? Several years ago, I was in prayer and meditating some, as I said, on some of these things. And I cried out to the Lord like this. I said, Lord, how will I be able to stand with the martyrs before your throne? Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought, am I going to be worthy to stand beside the martyrs that gave their life? Well, that was my question. And you know the Lord answered me. This is what he said. There is a way, but you must have the mind of the martyr. And that opened up something to me. So the latter portion of our little thought today is going to be on the mindset of the martyr. It's really difficult and hard to comprehend what that is. We are in a prosperous country, even with the changes in our economy right now, we're still better off than the other people of the world. And we're spoiled. And we're so easy to love ourselves. It's very easy to count something that would be so petty and call it my hard trial. And I'm not pointing a finger at any one of you. I'm talking to myself. When I realize some of these things are just really not that important. If I compare it to what the martyrs gave for their lives and stood for and didn't recant and didn't give up, and how many times would we go through something so hard and we'd say, well, I'll just have to give up. I remember a number of years ago, it was a church problem, and let me warn you, church problems are the hardest to overcome. Don't get entangled in church problems. The devil wants to use them, and that was the case. And so Lauren and I, we went home and cried all the way home, and Lauren hadn't been saved very long. This was not that long after Jan died, and I'm just, well, there's just nothing left for me to do but give up. And Lauren fell down on his knees by the bed. And here he hadn't been saved very long, but here I'd been saved about 5 years. I should have been the strong one. But he fell down on his knees, and there was nothing left for me to do but fall down beside him. And yes, God kept me through that. But that's just a little picture of our temptations when something comes against us and it seems hard. But let's, you know, there's also, this has also been said, probably you've heard it, in light of eternity, shouldn't we compare the things that we face with eternity? Wouldn't it put it in a greater perspective if we said, or compare it to the judgment? What do you want to hear at the judgment? What do I want to hear? I want to hear those words that say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But there's people that are going to hear, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. There's only going to be two things said, and you get to choose. So the next time when you're in a hard trial, in a hard battle, stop and examine it and compare it to the choices that the martyrs had and say, is it worth it for me to be discouraged? Or compare it to heaven. Don't you think we could make a wise choice if we compare everything to heaven? Things that we know. We don't know everything about heaven. But I know it's going to be better than here. Thank the Lord. So, I'm going to give you some, I've called it the benchmark or the benchmarks. It's the characteristics of a martyr's mind. And I'm not going to pretend to you that I really know it all. I feel like that the Lord has opened up some of the things to me, but I'm far from knowing everything. Part of it is through my imaginations and trying to put myself in their place. I'm going to repeat it again. They loved not their lives unto death. You think I've said that enough that we'll remember it? They refused to recant rather than to deny their faith. This is the benchmarks. They all had to deny their flesh, their desires, their ambitions for this life. Are we going to have to deny ourselves? Do we need that kind of a mindset? I say we do. They had to have a vision of eternal life with their Lord and Savior, that the reward was well worth the suffering. Now, I'm not saying that everyone had each one of those thoughts, but I believe it was maybe thoughts that helped them get through to the end. So there is one thing that I do know, that they did not have to suffer, that you and I do. Many times when they made their choice, and let me say this, and I may say this again, the choices we make in serving the Lord can affect our eternity. They're costly. Sometimes they have a high price. If I choose to go all the way with the Lord, what does that mean? Does that mean, is it important that I give up my life, my own ambitions, my own desires, my plans, my all that I had hoped for in life? Does that mean that? I think it means more than that. That's just a portion of it. When I go all the way with the Lord, I'm choosing life. He said, I set before you this day life and death. And he says, choose life. Not this life, but eternal life. And when you choose eternal life, you're really choosing death. Death to me. The scripture says, what you and I are living in now is a day of endurance. Many of the martyrs didn't have that long. Once they made their choice and their convictions were set, they might have a very short time and they're out of here. They're with their Lord. And actually, that was one thing that was said in that story about the 39 soldiers for Christ. They said, we can endure a night and be with our Lord tomorrow. So there is a difference. If you had to prove your faith and trust and convictions, and as soon as you got up from the altar, and in a day or two you're in heaven, would that be pretty easy? Oh, it would seem so, but they still had battles. But you know what? The scripture tells us we have to endure. It says, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And you know, in this, and I mean, it's been my prayer probably all my life, but in the last year, because of what I've been through, that's been my prayer. Lord, help me to endure to the end and be saved. It will pay you to pray that way also, whether you're in a trial or not. We are facing things we have never faced before. And the younger generation have already faced things that my generation did not face. The scripture also says to endure hardness as what? A good soldier. You know, we have a song that says, I've enlisted till I die. Have you enlisted till you die? Or do the affairs of life come along and pull you a little bit, pull the heart toward it and the desires? There are more things today that can hinder you and me than ever before in history. Do you believe it? You know the song that we have in our book that says, 10,000 foes arise to draw thee from the sky. You know when that song was written? Somebody might look it up and maybe a year on it. At that time, it may have been 10,000, but it's how many now? What number could we put on there now and sing that same song? 100,000? A million? When you have the very air that is peopled with wickedness of all kinds, the very airwaves. You know, since Lorne died, I hardly turn on the radio. But you know, before he died even, we'd be in the car and had the radio on, and certain advertisements would come on, and it would be so repulsive. We'd turn it off. And one day I said, I'm going to listen to KTOK for 1 hour and count how many times they put that advertisement on. I want to tell you, our air is permeated with the wickedness and wicked thoughts. And young people, turn it off. When you hear those advertisements, don't let it touch your hearts and minds. Keep yourself pure. So if we endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ, there are going to be some things you're going to endure that's hard. Face it. Don't be shocked. Don't be blown over because, oh, I wasn't prepared for this. God is preparing us. I really believe that. Can I also insert a little testimony? It's been a consolation to me. The day before I fell, and my life was changed in a moment. Well, Rosie and Philip had visited me, and I was struggling with something. Of forgiveness. And I dare to say there isn't one person here that hasn't struggled with forgiveness, and if you haven't, you will. And they left, and I was just walking around my backyard, and I was just thinking and praying, and the Lord spoke to me. And he said, why will you not allow yourself to be defrauded? I will, Lord. That's all it is. You know, just allow yourself to be lied about if you need to be lied about. It's not going to kill you. But it will if you are unforgiving. And I said, I'm going to take care of that right now. And the next day, my life was different. How would you like to go into the darkest time of your life and have unforgiveness in your heart? Don't let it, Terry, no matter what it is, no matter who it's against, give it up. And I have more to say on that. So let's see. Now I'm going to give you some words that I feel would be counted as martyr words. The word deny. You and I must continually deny ourselves. That's the mind of a martyr. This word deny means to not allow oneself to enjoy things available to feed the flesh. And we can feed the flesh in so many ways, through entertainments, through the phone, through the internet, through music, through so many ways. But you know, you can also feed the flesh when you're offended. You can pet yourself. You can feel like, I didn't deserve that, and maybe you didn't. But did Jesus deserve everything that came to him? He did not. He bore it for us as an example how we should take it. Lord, help us all. I'm going to testify to another time. I am no different from you. I've had my times of battle in forgiveness. And at this particular time, I was so wounded and so hurt, all I could do was cry, and I was down on my knees and I could not pray. But the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and I knew he was giving me a weapon. And he said, cover my mind, cover my spirit, and cover my emotions. And I said those words to the Lord, cover my mind, cover my spirit, cover my emotions. And you know what? I could say two sentences, and the battle was back. I said the words again, I could say two more. I came out of that using those weapons that the Lord gave me. I still use them. That was many years ago. I still use those, and I use it for others. What is it about our humanity that is so important? It's our mind, our spirit, and our emotions. We're emotional beings. But God can cover that with his blood. Thank the Lord. And give us power on those things. So we're going to have to deny ourselves and not allow our flesh to be fed for anything. And Paul said, I die daily, and I think I've already quoted that. But the scripture also says that they that are Christ have crucified what? The flesh. I gotta watch the time. Can I give another testimony? This was about the time the Lord was calling me to the ministry, and I could not yield. I did not want to be called a woman preacher. And I resisted it. But we were at Monarch, and it was on healing day, but it wasn't a healing day message. And I cannot tell you what was said in the message that the Lord spoke this to me sitting in my seat. And the Lord said, my ministers are not always going to be liked. And you want to be liked. And you will compromise the truth to be liked. And as soon as God said it, I knew it was true. I hadn't even submitted to the ministry yet. So I went down to the far end of the altar, and Sister Sammons and Sister Hargrave came in. And I could not say the words, I'm being called to the ministry. I could not utter them. All I could do was cry and say, I want to be liked. But do you know, the Lord showed me that has to be crucified. And we prayed until I was able to let that thing be crucified. There are things in our lives that God wants us to be crucified. He wants it to die. That's part of being the mind, or having the mind of a martyr. Be honest with yourself, and be honest with God, and be honest with the people, and God will bring you to a place that that thing can die. Here's another word I wanted to give to us. It's a word called escape. Did you know that escape was offered to every martyr? They had a chance. They could not face the arena or the fire or whatever. They could choose, and they would have an escape. Did you know Jesus had an escape? What was his escape? What? Can't hear. He could call for how many angels? 12 legions. He had a choice. He didn't have to go through it. He made his choice. He could have escaped. Did you know that there's many escapes that are offered to you and me? That I call them avenues of escape. Did you know that the medical profession is one of those avenues of escape? Trusting in the promises of God is a choice. Trusting for healing is greatly contested. What does the word say about escape? That we're tempted? And he said he would make a way of what? Escape. God has a way for you and me to escape. We're not left without a way. But wait on the Lord. He will provide that way. The next word, I'm calling it the word of the martyr, is love. And as I was thinking on this, I thought, well, probably I should have started with it first. Did you know that love is more than a feeling? What is it? It's a choice. Did you know that the martyrs had to choose to not love themselves above Christ? They had to choose to love Christ more than they loved themselves. I think that's what we need. I think that in the heart of every martyr was supreme love. And I base that on the commandment for all of us. What is the commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. What is left if we can love him with our all? So, what is it that we love so much about God? I mean, he's a spiritual being, but we have to believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently. We have to believe that God is God. And we have to believe that, we've got to believe his word. We've got to believe and love his salvation. Oftentimes we can almost get accustomed to saying, I thank the Lord for salvation. Oh, may it be real to us when we say those words. And I'm not pointing a finger at anybody. It's just part of humanity. We need to love his Holy Spirit. And this one, we need to love his will for our life. Whatever he brings into our life and it seems hard, we can still love him. So I'm down to the end, and this one I said I would speak on a little bit more, and it's forgiveness. And I asked the question, does forgiveness have anything to do with the mind of a martyr? Well, all we have to look at is Christ. And what did he say? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Forgiveness was with Christ as he was dying. What about Stephen? When Stephen was being martyred, what did he say? He said, "Lord, don't lay this to their charge. That's forgiveness." I would say that all of the martyrs had to forgive. They had to forgive those that were torturing them. In this book of, and I may not be able to say his name correctly, Richard Wurmbrand, and he wrote the book Tortured for Christ, and he was imprisoned for 14 years maybe, and tortured. He was just a fraction of himself when he was finally released. He was skin and bones. And after one of the sessions where they were torturing him, trying to get him to recant, his abuser said, "What do you have to say now?" You know what he said? "I forgive you." So forgiveness must be the mind of a martyr. And it's just so... I said it like this. Jesus said, if we do not forgive simple trespasses, they may not seem simple at the time, and they may seem unbearable and all of that, but comparing it, like I said, it's simple. Give it up. I ask this question: how can we stand with the great cloud of witnesses? And the scripture said they were slain for the word of God and for their testimony. And when we think of a testimony, don't we think of the scripture that says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Our testimony is important. And so when we testify, we are in essence saying, I am clear before God. And so he is saying, I want you to forgive. One scripture says, when you stand praying, what does it say to do then? Forgive. Forgiveness has got to be in our hearts and in our lives. And God has the power to help us forgive. Oh, you may go for a time and you may have battles. I've been there. But don't give up. Don't give up on reaching forth to the things that are before. This is what's before. Lord, give me a forgiving heart. Give me a forgiving mind. And again, I say, if you haven't done it, you will need it. And that's our little thought this afternoon. Thank you for your attention.